Blog Talk Radio. Ascension. Raising our frequencies to the vibration of light. Ascension is the awakening. And whether or not you're conscious of the frequency change, everything and everyone will ascend on some level. I'm Elaine Marie, and during the next half hour, I'll be serving up a light but nourishing menu of spiritual insight, meditation, and music to help you heal and find your strength, to be here now as you raise your vibration to the fifth dimension. Welcome to Light Lunch. Today, I am going to speak to you about blessings in disguise, the mask we wear, and lead a special unveiling meditation. We'll also do a Light Lunch gratitude session, so please have your pen and paper ready. Well, recently I saw a message posted on Facebook that read, "Some people come into your life as blessings, others come in your life as lessons." Now, if this was, say, 20 years ago, I would have agreed with that statement because I was still living very dangerously in victim mode. Instead, my first thought was, but aren't lessons really a blessing too? And doesn't that make all people who come into your life a blessing on some level? First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt considered her husband's crippling from polio as a blessing in disguise. He understood human suffering and knew that it could be overcome, she said. He also knew that one must have spiritual and physical courage, and if one had that, there was no situation that could not be met. Like many others, I have been faced with my own physical challenges, and sometimes it is difficult to see the rainbow through the rain. I'm learning to slow down and to reevaluate, to listen to my body, and to appreciate the things that I can still physically do, like writing. I've also become more empathic and share a deeper alliance with others in pain, something that I sadly lacked in my own upbringing. I was not raised in a compassionate family, so if I fell off my bike and skinned my knee, I wasn't coddled or cooed. No one offered to help me up or say, "I'm sorry you hurt yourself." Instead, I'd get something like, "Oh, that didn't hurt," or "Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about." And I guess I thought that was how my life would always be. And then I moved away from home and learned to take care of myself, to be dependent upon me. I was the one who would fix things. I was the one who would make me feel better. I was the one who would give me comfort. Yep, little old, overly sensitive me. Then one day I met and later married the most wonderful, caring man. It took me a very long time before I realized he was heaven sent because I had grown extremely independent by the time Nick came along. I was Superwoman and Wonder Woman rolled up into one, and like that old television commercial used to say, I never wanted them to see me sweat. Nick has seen me through much more than bouts of perspiration. He has lovingly supported me through a barrage of disappointments, grief, accidents, and illnesses. And I don't think a day has gone by when he doesn't tell me that I am his number one priority. Kindness and trust are just two of the lessons I learned from Nick. He helped me to see that it's okay to show vulnerability, and that won't make me weak or useless. In turn, I learned that in allowing Nick to help me when I truly needed it, it gives him an opportunity to be of service. Now, that doesn't mean that he's taken over my life or that I am a completely weak and useless human being. It's a blessing to us both because we gift each other the opportunity to be useful, which in turn makes us grateful. For all the times I longed for words of comfort during my childhood, I believe that my family has been my greatest teachers. Whenever anyone asks why I think I am here on this planet at this time, I always say it's to learn the lessons of love and forgiveness. So I consider my painful experiences to be blessings in disguise. Or maybe it's more accurate to say the blessings of love and forgiveness. After a musical break, I'll talk about another type of disguise, but is it a blessing? The song you just heard is Seeing Things, performed by Alexander Falco. And now, I'd like to share a message from a card that I have selected from the Atlantis deck by Diana Cooper, which represents the 1500-year period of Golden Atlantis, a time when people lived in great spiritual harmony and bliss. Today's card is Contentment. During Golden Atlantis, everyone was content with who they were, and they were satisfied with their personal gifts and talents. Are you satisfied with yourself? Do you like the person you've become, or are you doing your best to hide it? Halloween is the season of mystery and veils, and it won't be long before our doorbells are ringing and we're dropping pounds of candy into the sacks of little trick-or-treaters. For the kids, of course, wearing a costume is fun because it allows them to shed their everyday kid persona in favor of a superhero or a scary monster. The fabric itself is magical, an instant power source of strength and fearlessness. There was a period in my life, from the time I was a teenager and throughout my 20s, when I wore an invisible mask of being this confident, carefree spirit. In school, no one knew about my family problems or my fears or even the fact that I never, ever felt comfortable in my then 100-pound body because the mask I had created was so super strong and nothing could penetrate it. Well, at least until I came home and then my fantasy popped like one big colossal rainbow bubble. Truly, the power of the mask is pure illusion. We believe its fabric wall protects us from being vulnerable, that it stops a person from knowing too much about our true identity. Having the need to wear a disguise indicates that we just don't feel we are good enough, and it's no wonder. The advertising industry tells us there is something wrong with us so they can sell their products. Our hair is too gray, our teeth are too yellow. We're not wearing the right clothes, we don't have the right car, the right home. The subliminal message here is, we're just not good enough. One day I was watching an episode of The Talk on TV, and as an experiment, all of the female co-hosts, guests, and audience members wore no makeup that day. I think I gasped. As a woman who has rarely left her home without at least a bit of lipstick and mascara, I found this to be an almost insane act. But at the same time, it was also courageous and inspiring and indeed groundbreaking. So I decided to try my own little experiment, and I washed my face and ordered a pizza. And when the doorbell rang, I confess my heart skipped a few beats. Could I do this? Could I actually do this? And when I opened the door, would the pizza guy stutter and stammer and maybe even scream at my naked face? Would he drop the money in the pizza on the doorstep and run to find an angry mob with pitchforks? Well, the result was surprising. The pizza guy never flinched. In fact, he was pleasant and smiling, and here's the key, he actually looked me in the eye without screaming. Who are you? Do you even know? Do you want to know? Do you believe you are too dowdy, too silly, too fat, too thin, too chatty, too serious, too weak, too lazy, too boring? Would you like to accept and feel empowered by knowing your true self? Let's find out now. Gothic mansion. The lights are out, except for hundreds of twinkling candles. You are walking up a long, curving mahogany staircase in the middle of the mansion, holding on to the banister as people dressed in black masks and ornate costumes ascend and descend. Once you reach the top, you see a long, gold-framed mirror. You stand before the mirror and gaze at your reflection. In the dark, you look almost invisible, except for the candlelight flickering in your eyes. You feel mysterious, dressed from head to toe in an elegant black silk. You adjust your black mask and smile, confident that no one will ever recognize you. You enter a small room, which you immediately recognize as a chapel because of its three wooden pews and Gothic stained glass window. You work your way through the party crowd until you are standing before a beautiful altar. Covering the altar is a long white silk scarf with a huge gold-leafed book in the center. The book is resting atop an easel, and a gold tassel marks the open page. You are surprised to see that the book is written in English, but you are even more surprised to see that your name is the first word that you read. You realize the book is a personal message for you, and you continue reading. It says, "You wear black today because you believe the color protects you and hides you from those who may judge. The truth is, you are perfect exactly the way you are. You do not believe this because you have listened to others who believe they are not good enough. You are good enough. You do not need to hide your so-called imperfections. You are perfect the way you are because you are a creation of the divine. Let the color black help you find your courage. When it is time to unmask, breathe out your fears and know that all is well." You hear eerie organ music playing in the grand ballroom, and you leave the chapel to follow a weaving line of silk and satin until you are standing at the ballroom entrance, guarded by a knightly suit of armor. Everything is dark except for dozens of candelabras placed on various banquet tables. Above the dance floor is a balcony with hundreds of peering eyes illuminated by the candle glow. There is an old royal coach in a well-lit corner where a couple is posing for a photographer, waving their glasses of punch in a celebration toast. Suddenly, the organist stops playing and everyone is quiet as a loud, invisible clock chimes 12 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The lights turn on, and you watch as every person removes their mask. Finally, you are the only one wearing a mask, and everyone is staring at you. They urge you to take it off. They want to see who you are, but you're thinking, are you good enough for them? Are you even good enough for you? Your heart pounds, your hands sweat, and then you remember the words in the book. When it is time to unmask, Breathe out your fears and know that all is well. So you breathe in courage. Breathe out fear. Breathe in forgiveness. Breathe out fear. Breathe in trust. Breathe out fear. Let your fingers remove your mask now. And now you see the people applauding. They are smiling. They are not judgmental. There is no negativity, only love. Then a kind woman in a gorgeous pink gown and sparkling tiara takes you by the hand. Soon you are sitting inside the royal coach, and the costumed photographer has taken your picture. He hands you the picture, and a group of people gather around to look. Finally, you see what they see. You are a beautiful reflection of inner peace and empowerment. Now, open your eyes and feel any anger, shame, or resentment completely released. It's time now for Lightlines. If you're a new listener, Lightlines is a 5-minute writing session that I created to help uplift and honor yourself. It's about opening your heart and raising your vibrations by writing short, positive reminders about how wonderful and blessed you are. As you write your Lightlines today, I will play my heart chakra crystal singing bowl to help open your heart chakra. In a moment, you will hear the crystal singing bowl, indicating the writing session has begun. Then, after 5 minutes, you will hear the meditation chimes, ending the session. I hope you enjoyed today's Light Lunch. To receive show menu updates, please click the follow button on the Within Radio page at withinradio.com. You will also find this show available on my Right Lighters channel on YouTube. To learn about my vibration-raising classes and products, visit my Right Lighter Virtual Writing and Wellness Spa at rightlighter.com. Until my next Light Lunch on the 15th of the month, please remember to be kind to yourself. Love and listen to your body. Avoid negativity. Forgive everybody. And don't forget to count your blessings. Namaste.